Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Kenneth Pelletier, and he's the author of Change Your Genes, Change Your Life, Creating Optimal Health with the New Science of Epigenetics. And right now we're talking about the affordability of these evaluations, these genetic assays, and having a professional person help us interpret them. And you were just about to say something about a couple of those.
Right. There are really four or five companies that do a very quality job of, and again, I don't have any financial interest in them. So, but one is the most high cost one that really addresses all four is a company called Arival, A-R-I-V-A-L-E. And I talk about these in the last chapter of my book. And this is a particularly good one. It's headed up by Dr. Leroy Hood, and he was one of the scientists involved in the original mapping of the human genome. So it's good, solid science. It's rather pricey. It's around $3,000 per year, but it's very well done. Others that fall in the couple of hundred dollars a year are a company called DNA Fit, which is out of London. DNA, uppercase DNA, and then Fit, F-I-T. Uh-huh. Another is Day 2. And it's D-A-Y and then T-W-O, Day 2. They're in Walnut Creek, California, and they're an Israeli-based company that initially has focused on diabetic management. So they really use the biome to trace a person's response to food in their intestinal tract. But it also tells you a great deal about everything that you consume in addition to your blood sugar. And so it's again, scientifically very solid. They've been around about 10 years. Another is Thorne, T-H-O-R-N-E. Thorne is a nutraceutical company in New York. And again, very reputable. They're the only nutraceutical company that's ever been allowed to use the Olympic logo. They, for the Summer Games, last year, they were actually allowed to use the Olympic logo. They have a new product called Longevity, like longevity, but without the L. And Longevity is, again, a relatively inexpensive, I think it's less than $200 to give you these three assays. And then there's always an optional counseling service that's anywhere between 20 and 30 minutes. That normally runs about $50. So if you think about adding these up, it's maybe $200 to $300 total to get one of these complete assays.
Well, that's getting more reasonable for most people. I think even people on fixed income can possibly be able to squeeze out some and save some pennies to get that one done, I think. So that's very exciting. I'd love for you. You mentioned about something about food. I'd love for you to talk to something you call nutrigenomics. Is that right?
Yes, nutrigenomics.
Genomics.
And one of the again, you don't need just backing up. You don't need to have these assays in order to make these changes. In fact, in the book, what I do is I say, look, even if you don't have a nutrigenomic or a diet-related assay, there are some things you can do if you find out that you've got an elevated inflammatory blood response. Most people do have an inflamed, if you will, body, and there are things that we can do even without having these assays. So there are changes. We can make these changes without the assays. I think it's better and wiser and, you know, more helpful if we know exactly what the target is and we can see exactly how we're making changes. But we don't need to always have that. And that's very important to realize. Nutrigenomics recognizes that one of the major influences on gene expression is diet. And let's just take up the marker of inflammation. Inflammation, if it's high, can lead to heart disease, can be irritable bowel, it can be rheumatoid or arthritic disorders. If it's too low, then you have a compromised immune system and you're going to have infections and colds and other kinds of immune suppressed conditions. Now, people say, well, gee, if inflammation is bad, we should eliminate it. And that's not the point. Inflammation is good. If you get a cut, that reddening around the cut is your inflammatory response, and it helps you to heal. So what we want is to maintain these. And again, if you have high inflammatory response, you can have things like Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, red and green, deeply colored fruits and vegetables. All of those are anti-inflammatory and produce a much more positive level of blood chemistry for inflammation.
What would you say, though, about people who have, and boy, I'm in this category, Ken, I have a very boring, although good diet, I have a very boring diet. And people are saying, okay, I shouldn't be eating the same thing every day. So you mentioned Brussels sprouts. I eat a lot of Brussels sprouts in a week. That's one of my go-to vegetables. So, but I have it often. And does the body then become resistant to that food?
No.
Goody.
That's a good question. No, bodies don't develop tolerances to foods. You never really develop a food intolerance to a food that we like. And the diet you eat may, in fact, be boring for other people. But the most important thing is that it have a variety. And most diets, when you look at the conflicting recommendations, there isn't a single thing I can think of that someone hasn't made a diet out of it. Now, there's a celery detoxification diet. There's a ketogenic high-fat diet. There's a paleolithic high-protein diet. There's high-fat, low-fat, every conceivable form of diet. The problem is, if you don't know your own chemistry, how can you know what diet fits you the best? That's the basic question underlying epigenetics when it comes to diet. When you figure out what you really need, and these assays are very specific. They'll say, eat walnuts, not almonds, because you don't digest almonds very well, but you do digest walnuts extremely well.
So that would be an individual. That might be that individual.
Correct. It's highly individualized, and diets are as individualized as our fingerprints. So a diet may be boring for a person, but it may be exactly what you like. It may be a perfect diet for you. Most diets, if you look at them analytically, come down to variants of the Mediterranean diet. And the Mediterranean diet is the most well-studied. It's been around for 25 years. Walter Willett, who's a professor of medicine at Harvard, is the person who first recognized that people around the Mediterranean Sea, so Spain, Greece, Italy, Turkey, North Africa, have a very low incidence of heart disease, a very high degree of health, long life expectancies, and they break many of our rules. They have high-fat diets. They have reasonably high alcohol consumption. They break a lot of the rules of diet, and yet their diets produce a great deal of health in that population. And if you look generally as a good map to see how your diet meets up and matches and Mediterranean diet, you'll have a pretty good approximation of the ideal diet for you with modifications to your own taste and your own needs.
There's been a lot of studies, I know, with Seventh-day Adventists, and they've really tested out some vegetarian diets. Am I correct in that one?
Yes. The studies of Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, have really demonstrated that it's a diet, yes, but even more importantly, it's a general lifestyle. So if you think about the context, the Seventh-day Adventist or Mormon lifestyle has a social support, It has friends. It emphasizes a spiritual beliefs, a sense of purpose in life. And it also has, at least for most of them, no alcohol, high vegetable content, moderate amounts of protein, so it's and physical activity. So the total lifestyle, what you see is that Seventh-day Adventists have longer life expectancies and less of the major chronic diseases that we see in the general population. Again, the same with Mormon and their other subgroups that adhere to a Seventh-day Adventist-like diet that actually have improved health and extended longevity.
So what you're saying is also mind matters. How we think matters. So it's not just what we take into our bodies as nutrition, but how we're thinking, our belief systems and our support systems.
Absolutely. Stress is probably the second greatest impact on the gene. And on the negative side, stress produces catabolic changes or mobilization of the body to meet, to fight or flight, to either run away or engage in combat. That catabolic process is very destructive to the human body. It produces high levels of hormones that are destructive, high levels of adrenal corticotropic hormones, et cetera. The positive side of that then is a meditation. And there's a study out of Harvard that I thought was fascinating. They took people who had never meditated before. They looked at their genetic expression before and after 15 minutes of meditation, a mindfulness meditation, very simple, very clear. They looked before and after, and what they found after 15 minutes of one session of people who had never meditated before, they actually changed their genetic expression in a positive direction. Now, that's astounding to think about.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean that that's going to, you know, extend your life and do all of those miraculous things, but it means that if you practice that over time, we're looking at accumulative events, so cumulative meditation, cumulative dietary change, cumulative physical activity, that's what it's all about. People always say, yes, I've quit smoking, I've done it 100 times. Well, that's true. The problem is that the 101st time when you really quit is what you're after. And so with diet, it's not a matter of changing your diet or losing a few pounds. It's what can you sustain for your entire life?
So the other one, big one, as far as lifestyle goes, is exercise. And there we go. What would you say that we need to do with exercise? And I'm going to have you go into that question in just a moment, but I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Kenneth Pelletier, and he is the author of Change Your Genes, Change Your Life, Creating Optimal Health with the New Science of Epigenetics. And Ken, his website is drpelletier.com, and he spells that, Dr. abbreviates it, drpelletier.com. drpelletier.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Dr. Kenneth Pelletier. He's the author of Change Your Genes, Change Your Life, Creating Optimal Health with the New Science of Epigenetics. Ken, we're just launching in now to the idea of exercise as a way of really taking care of our own health and really making a difference. So what do you have to say about exercise?
What we know from the latest research is that what's called interval training is actually better than steady state aerobics. So it used to be you raise your heart rate up to a certain level, keep it at that level for 15 or 20 minutes, and then go through cool down. It turns out that's not actually the most efficient use of time or of exercise capacity. So an interval training is very simply that you elevate your heart rate for 2 or 3 minutes to your optimal range, then you drop it down for 2 or 3 minutes, and you elevate it again for 2 or 3 minutes, and you do that over about a 12 to 15 minute time period. So that fluctuation of accelerated heart rate, blood pressure, and then dropping it down to a normal range and back and forth is called interval training, interval exercise. It's the most efficient use of time, but it also helps the heart rate and heart rate regularity. It also preserves the elasticity of the arterial system. So we're getting maximum benefit. Now, there's a study out of Finland that came out actually after, I think it's in my book, I'm not sure, but it was right around the time I was finishing the book, that looked at Finnish soccer players. And what they found is that compared to amateur athletes, the Finnish soccer players all have a very highly expressed, much more positive epigenetic profile. So all of their epigenetic markers for health and longevity were improved because of their level of physical activity. So that becomes a very important variable in all of these influences that help us to both live healthy and live long. The other that I thought was really interesting in the Finnish study was that the telomere, or the marker for how long we will live, was actually enhanced. And there have been several studies which are fascinating about things that we can do in the epigenetic realm that actually seems to influence how long we will live.
That's really very interesting that we really can affect, even if our genetic makeup says, okay, that maybe our longevity isn't marked out, but we can really change that. Epigenetics in the way we exercise and eat can make a difference. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. The telomere is an X-shaped chromosome, and it was Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn here at UCSF School of Medicine received the Nobel Prize about 7 years ago for discovering the structure of the telomere. And the X has a length to the arm, and then the cap of it is like a shoelace. So however long the arm is and however integrated or intact the cap is tells you that you've got a good life expectancy. If it's short and if it's frayed, it means your life expectancy is shorter. This is independently of what your gene says. It's like, and you can influence, you can elongate the telomere, you can improve the cap, and therefore, biochemically, look at extending your life expectancy. And again, any number of studies have demonstrated that when people change their diets, engage in stress management, have exercise, have a positive psychosocial environment, live in a healthy environment, and that means free of radiation and petrochemical exposure, that has a life-extending impact on their telomeres.
So I'm trying to imagine the telomeres. Is that like a covering over the gene or what?
Well, the gene itself has a coating. They're called single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs. It's like a chemical coating that surrounds the gene. So the gene, again, doesn't change. It can be damaged by petrochemical and by radiation, but it's fairly fixed. This is the expression. And the SNPs act like rheostats. So it turns up the expression or turns it down. And with the telomere, it's not so much the SNP, but it's the actual length of the telomere itself and the tip. And when the biochemistry surrounding the telomere changes in a positive direction, it relaxes, it elongates, and the cap becomes more intact, which means the cell, as it replicates, is going to replicate more accurately over time. And the longer cells replicate accurately over time, the longer that we will live.
I think, and you use the term rheostat, and that's a very different term. We've heard you turn on your gene or turn off your gene like a light switch, but you're saying you turn it up or turn it down. It's got a subtle difference there.
Thank you for asking that. That's very important. And again, a lot of the epigenetic assays give you the information as though you turn a gene on or off like a light switch. That's not it at all. A rheostat is one where you can either brighten the light in a room or turn it down to almost invisible lighting. That's what the gene does, and that's what the biochemistry, the SNP around the gene does. It says you can turn up inflammation if it's too dull. You can turn it down if it's excessive. But it does act like a dialing mechanism up or down, so to express or suppress that particular genetic characteristic.
What about supplemental nutrients? Would they be helpful in this whole scenario of helping turn up our good genes and having them express themselves rather than the bad ones or the ones that are not healthy?
Absolutely. And again, to really know what supplements you need, supplements are good generally. Let me just start with that. But it's really important to get this biochemical profile so you can know what supplements you need and in what quantity. So you don't want to be taking on large amounts of supplements if you really don't need them. For instance, omega-3 fish oils are very good to reduce inflammation for heart health and for vascular elasticity. But, you know, it's very expensive, so the prescription is normally 3 to 4 grams a day. Well, that's really quite expensive. You may or may not need that much. So if you had a genetic assay, you'd probably save the money in terms of buying your supplements by having the assay. But that can be a very beneficial effect. So overall, the kinds of supplements we take are beneficial, and it's important to know how much and what kinds for your particular biochemistry.
And also, how do we know that they're actually being absorbed?
Yes. Well, there are actually assays that can tell you about absorption. And the analogy would be the bloodstream is like a highway, and you don't know if the products in that highway are being delivered to the warehouse, which is the cell. And you can actually look on bioavailability assays that tell you how well are you absorbing particular nutrients. There may be an abundance of a nutrient in your bloodstream, and yet your cells are deficient. And that shows that there's some problem in terms of the conduction into the cell. And again, it's usually correctable, but that's the kind of assay that we need.
Right. So it seems like once you maybe have an assay or an evaluation and you've talked to a professional about it, and then you start taking supplements, you might want to follow up with another assay or evaluation to see how you're doing with the recommendations.
Right. And these assays are becoming, for instance, someone might say, well, good grief, I hate a blood draw. And they're right. I have not found anyone who loves a blood draw. But there is a new technology that we will see certainly by mid-2019 and by the end of this year for a certainty with a blood draw. It's like a half of a tennis ball. You attach it to your upper arm, and it draws 200 microliters of blood directly through your skin into a little ball. It's stable at room temperature. You don't have to worry about packing it in ice. You can it'll be an over-the-counter consumer product that will give you 40 or 50 blood markers without a blood draw. So that ends the problem of a person saying, well, I'd like to test this over time, but I don't want to do 4 blood draws in a year. And again, you don't really want to look at these every week. Probably every 6 months is more than adequate to just gauge how are you doing, like you would gauge your cholesterol if you're concerned about that or any other biochemical marker. But it's not a matter of becoming, phobic about what are my blood assays doing today. They fluctuate, and they fluctuate vastly over time, day to day and week to week.
So let's end here with one other aspect of good health, and that is sleep. So I'd love for you to give us your view of sleep and how is it important to our overall health first.
Yes. Now, sleep is critical. Disrupted sleep is very disruptive to our entire body chemistry. And increasingly, you find that within corporate programs, which is really the main research that I do, that sleep is vital. And what we mean by vital sleep is usually, again, it's the 7 to 8 hours. If a person is sleeping less than 7 hours, if they're down around 4 or 5 hours, that's associated with a high disease risk. If they're sleeping more than 8 to 10 hours, then you're looking at other conditions. Depression is very commonly symptomatic of people who are sleeping more than 8 to 10 hours a day. But if you have normal sleep, it is a powerful regulator of all the biological functions we've been talking about, all of your chemistry, all your hormone levels, your stress hormones, your dietary absorption, your heart rate, your regularity are all governed by sleep. And it's not a matter of taking sedatives to sleep. It's a matter of sleep hygiene, and that's another whole matter. But there are simply practices that people can engage in that ensure a healthy, reasonable 7 to 8 hours of sleep.
Well, Ken, we could go on and on. I just want to thank you so much for being with us today on New Dimensions.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed this very much, and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. My pleasure. I've been speaking with Dr. Kenneth Pelletier. He is the author of Change Your Genes, Change Your Life, Creating Optimal Health with the New Science of Epigenetics. And if you'd like to be in touch with him, his website is drpelletier.com. That's Dr. D-R Pelletier, P-E-L-L-E-T-I-E-R.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3633.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Michael Gelb, author of Walking Well. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about a new approach for comfort, vitality, and inspiration in every step.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
You're tuned in to CJ.